The cello is the instrument that's closest to the human voice. And so there's something just very, very instinctive when we hear it, almost primal. And it produces just massive amounts of vibrations. It's a big wooden instrument. And on the player side, it rests on your heart space. I know. And I think that's maybe why I was so drawn to it, because you just feel the vibrations throughout your whole body when you play.
Hi, friends. This is Maria Mays, founder of Take Five, well-being coach and teacher, and you're listening to Chakras and Chardonnay, a well-being podcast for wine lovers, where we explore insights from ancient wisdom teachings to empower our health, to liberate ourselves from anxiety, and to more mindfully enjoy our wine and everything else we consume. Did I mention we have fun exploring different wines? We do that too. And I am so, so grateful that you are here. Hi, friends. It is episode 40. I can't believe it. It's actually the last episode of season two. I'm going to be taking a little break. I'm just so grateful for you, and I'm so grateful for the guest I have today, Elizabeth Marshall. Perfect way to send off season two with a beautiful energy. Elizabeth Marshall has cultivated a career path that has spanned nearly three decades, straddling the worlds of classical music and energy healing. Elizabeth has had the opportunity to work with headliners like Lady Gaga, The Eagles, Andrea Bocelli, Weird Al Yankovic, Lionel Richie, John Cicada. I mean, so many amazing musicians. But what's even more amazing is the energy she brings to not only this podcast, but more importantly, to her clients through Reiki Uprising. She combines sound and Reiki. And if you're new to Reiki, this is a great episode to listen to because she takes us through what it really is. So I hope you enjoy this and thank you so much for being a listener. Well, welcome back, Chakras and Chardonnay listeners. I'm grateful to be back and grateful to have another amazing guest for you. Today, I'm going to be talking with Elizabeth Marshall from Reiki Uprising. So thank you so much for joining us, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Well, let's get started with just sharing a little bit about Reiki Uprising and what you do and what led you to start doing what you do.
Sure. Reiki Uprising, in a very simple way to say it is it's an uprising of love. Reiki, which there's a little bit of confusion out there as to what Reiki actually is. And to give a quick definition, honestly, it's just universal love. It's universal oneness. It's our universal intelligence that we have. And it's the ability to tap into that as a practitioner and channel it and send it to someone else. That's really the simplest way to explain it. And so I've started an online program so that I can certify as many people as possible in Reiki as I can, because the world's kind of scary and there's a lot of like really big things happening that are really frightening. And it's like every day there's something, and it doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum or your beliefs. Like, it's just thing after thing and war and anger. And I really believe that Reiki has the ability to turn that ship around, because it's love. It's sending love to someone else. And not romantic love, just pure, clean, beautiful energy that inspires healing in the body. And I think we need a lot of that right now. So that's one big part of Reiki Uprising. And then the other part is my sound healing that I do. I'm a cellist. I started playing when I was 5 years old. And up until about 6 or 7 years ago, I was a full-time cellist. I was on tour all the time. I had a really fortunate career where I got to play with big headliners, and like my bosses were really famous, and it was cool, and all these big arena tours. And I, along the way, picked up Reiki certification and chakra and pendulum work. And I kind of dove into the woo-woo side of the world because it always interests me. And then I started to see that there's actually a massive correlation between the two things. Playing the cello is all vibration. Energy healing is all vibration. Sound healing, it's all the same thing. It's just kind of channeled into a different direction. And so I got tired of touring. It's super fun when you're in your 20s. And then by the time you hit your 40s, your neck hurts because you never have the same pillow,
Yes.
in the same hotel. It's schlepping stuff around, and
Right.
it just got to be too much. And so I transitioned full time into the energy healing space.
Oh, beautiful. So just how recent was that?
It was a bit of a it was a slower transition. I moved to Portland, Oregon about 7 years ago, and
Okay.
that sort of slowed it down because I was based in Las Vegas, which is kind of the hub for all of this stuff, for cello entertainment stuff. And then I was flying out a couple times a month to do gigs, and then COVID hit, and I had two years worth of gigs just tumble and fall within a week.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that's kind of the universe giving me a really big sign here. And I
Right.
wanted to slow down anyway, but it was like, well, yeah, no, this is, I'm very much being redirected at this point. So right around the beginning of COVID is when I transitioned full time, but I've been
Okay.
doing the healing arts stuff for on and off for the last 15 years.
Okay. So tell me more about transitioning from that healing vibration of the cello, which I'm so excited that you're sharing because it's such it's an instrument that I've always been drawn to. I don't play it, but I so enjoy its sound and its music. It is such a it just taps into that heart space and just allows you to open, I think, and just like you said, up-leveling love. So I would love to know, just to talk a little bit about the cello as an instrument and how that vibration is maybe unique and how that helps with the healing process.
I love that question. I am also very in love with the cello. It's lucky that I picked it when I was five. So it turns out it's good that I still love it so much.
Right.
That could have been bad. The cello is the instrument that's closest to the human voice. And so there's something just very, very instinctive when we hear it. Almost primal. And it produces just massive amounts of vibrations. It's a big wooden instrument. And on the player side, it rests on your heart space.
Oh.
I know. And I think that's maybe why I was so drawn to it, because you just feel the vibrations throughout your whole body when you play.
Oh.
And in a sound healing session with it, people have reported back that, because the end pin, the part that the stick at the bottom, for a better term, rests on the floor, you can feel the vibrations there too. Like
Oh,
it's just,
wow. So if you're laying on the floor while it's being played right by you, you can feel and pick up that vibration. Oh.
you can. And I've actually played on a wooden platform before that had like a sound boosting quality to it.
Oh,
And the
wow.
whole room, you could just feel the whoa, 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 the cool vibration of the cello. So it's this very heart-centered instrument to begin with. It sounds like a human being talking. And then, when you target each chakra individually, through a series of pitches, I think personally it just feels incredibly relaxing and healing and nourishing at a very deep soul level.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm just getting all kinds of visuals as you're talking and just wanting to be in a room with you playing cello.
We'll set it up.
Yeah, so tell me more about, for those that might be listening to this and they've heard of Reiki and they're like, okay, it has to do with love, but what really is this? Like, am I gonna go in and what are you gonna be doing to me? Is this witch doctor stuff? Like, what is it? So for those folks who this is really kind of pushing the edge a little bit, how do we ease them into understanding what actually occurs in a session?
Sure. And that's a great question. Because I've had people sent to me before. It's usually like Nothing against men. I adore men, but it's usually a husband who shows up and they say, "Well, my wife told me I needed Reiki. I don't really believe in this." You know? And the beauty of Reiki is you don't actually have to believe in it for it to work. You just have to want to feel better. And so the way it works is, you know, my it, this was a session right now. My client would walk in. I have some paperwork for them to fill out just so I know where they are and why they're coming in. They lay down on a very comfortable massage table. I cover them up with a blanket. They're fully clothed. No clothing is removed except for the shoes. And what I do as the practitioner is through a series of mantras, meditations, and symbols. And this all happens silently, by the way. I dial up the energy. I connect to source, to this universal love. The energy is transmitted into me. And by touching the recipient, it goes into the person on the table. And so I like to point out when I certify people for this, I'm not actually a healer. I'm not doing any healing. I'm just a conduit for the energy. I'm just there to facilitate. And so I usually work from head to toe, avoiding intimate areas, of course, and hold the position for amount of time, depending on why they came in. You know, if they came in for a migraine, I'll stay on their head for quite a while, type of thing. Most people report it to be deeply relaxing. The vast majority of people I work with fall asleep. I'd say probably 85 or 90% of people just kind of conk out within the first couple of minutes. The session usually runs about an hour. Sometimes I do shorter, sometimes longer, but usually it's an hour. For the people who do stay awake, they report feeling like waves, kind of like vibrations, if you will. I've heard people say they felt like there were little bubbles in their body or pressure. My hands get very, very warm, so people feel that as well. And typically, it's just a very, very deep, relaxing experience. The energy is put into them, and it inspires their own body to heal themselves. And yeah, so their physical body, spiritual body, mental body. I mean, people come for a zillion different reasons. And the Reiki knows what to do. It's smarter than all of us because it's universal intelligence.
I love that description and that going into detail like that. I really appreciate it because I think part of what, well, I know part of what the intention of this podcast is to just kind of break down some of this stuff, right? And get a feel for what actually happens and how it helps. And I know personally, having received Reiki sessions, it's kind of hard to describe after how you feel because you feel so relaxed and so shifted, right? In terms of energetics and in terms of maybe mindset as well, because of the energetics, like one leads to the other. So I love that. So
Yeah,
in terms
absolutely.
of the cello then, and how do you use it in all your sessions, or is it just an option, or how does that kind of play into it? No pun intended.
Love it. I don't use them in all my sessions because not everyone needs it or wants it. Some people just want to lay on the table and go to sleep. Some people, I use singing bowls as well from time to time. So if someone comes in with a, let's say they have a heart chakra blockage, which anyone over the age of 10 or 12 at some point will have one because we all get hurt, we all fall in love, and things happen. Depending on what's going on with them, I'll work on the heart chakra through Reiki. If it's still needing some more nourishment and support, sometimes I'll do a singing bowl. If it needs more, I'll say, "Hey, how do you feel about a little cello music?" And I'll take it. It's sort of a tiered thing.
I see.
Not everyone needs everything all the time. I've also done a lot of the sound healing in like a yoga studio setting with, you know, 20, 30 people on their mats. Yeah, and that's a better way to do a big group thing for me at least.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Beautiful. So if we were going to offer up a recommendation of a tip or something that the listeners could do today to put into play, in addition to planning to go make a Reiki appointment, but something that they could do to work with their own chakras maybe, or just something for their overall well-being, or something involving the cello. What can we offer them today that they can put
Sure.
into action?
This is super simple and basic, but I swear to you, it's such a thing. You don't even have to know anything about chakras, Reiki, or sound healing, but just put on your favorite song and notice the shift in your energy. Notice how you feel, especially if you're having a day where you're just sort of out of sorts or feeling discombobulated or, heading towards depression or anxiety. Try some music, and it seems so silly and basic. And a lot of times, when you're really down in the dumps, you don't want to hear that happy song or whatever song it is
Right.
that pulls you out. But music is so powerful, and I've seen it over and over and over again, especially when I was touring, and there'd be an arena with 40,000 people, half of them crying, standing on their feet with their, I'd say a lighter, we don't do that anymore, but like their cell phone, up in the air. I honestly think music is one of the most powerful forces in the world that we have. So don't forget about that happy little song or tune that you have in your back pocket if you ever need it, because it's always going to be there for you and it's easy.
I love that. It's so, like you say, it's so simple that it's often overlooked, but the power to shift our state based on sound is huge. I love it.
It's the ultimate in self-care and it's not expensive.
Right. Right. It's right there available to us. I love that. So I've got one more question for you, but first, share how people can get a hold of you, how we can find you.
Oh, sure. I have a website, ReikiUprising.com. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, all at Reiki Uprising.
Awesome. We'll have all those things in the show notes for everyone. And now I'd love to know what type of wine you like to mindfully enjoy, if any.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mentioned earlier I'm in Portland, Oregon, where there's an embarrassment of incredible wine surrounding us. We're
Right.
40 minutes from wine country. So yeah, the Oregon Pinot Noir that's where my heart is these days. And there's four or five wineries here that just are incredible.
Love it. Do you have a favorite to recommend?
Oh, yes. Penner Ash
Oh, Penner
is
Ash,
a Oh, amazing. Dusky Goose has
yeah.
one of the most, and it's one of the most beautiful tasting rooms ever. It just looks out over the valley. It's so luxurious and just such a beautiful place.
Sounds amazing. So if you had to pick one attribute of Pinot, either the aroma or the visual, the color, or the taste. What is it about Pinot that draws you in?
One of the things I really love about it is how varied it can be. Like you, it's never quite, you never for sure know what it's going to taste like because it can range the
Really?
flavor so deeply. And what I love about the Oregon ones especially is a lot of them are just much bolder than you would think they would be. Like you'd think they're more like a cab. But incredibly flavorful. They hit you in all the spots
Right.
all over
I
the
love
jaw
that.
and the tongue.
So as you were saying that, I'm looking at your background and you have this beautiful brick background, and it's literally like all the different colors of a Pinot behind you, and all the it's like your imagery in the background was showing what you were saying. So I love that. Well, I haven't been in Oregon in a bit, and I think I'm overdue for a trip, so maybe we'll have to go wine tasting together, and I can come get a Reiki session with a cello. That would be a dream come true.
Oh, I'd love it anytime. My door is always open.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Elizabeth, and for sharing that wisdom for our listeners. Remember, it's as simple as putting on your favorite tune or two to help take you out of a moment of maybe not feeling so hot into a completely different space in terms of your energy and your mindset, and really consider looking into Reiki. And if you have interest in becoming a practitioner of Reiki, this is a great place to start inquiring. Can they just reach out to you via email if they're curious about the program? On the
Absolutely. My
website?
email is on the website, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm craving a beautiful Oregon Pinot now for sure. Thank you so much to Elizabeth. Her website will be in the show notes, as will the links to Dusky Goose and Penarache wineries. And Elizabeth actually gifted us with this beautiful cello piece. This is her playing cello, guiding you into a few moments of serenity and connection with the heart. So enjoy. Hi, friends. I invite you to bring your awareness to the part of your body that's making contact with the ground. And just notice the structure and support that that ground offers you in this moment. Now I'm going to encourage you to notice your breath and join me in deepening it. So inhaling a little bit longer and exhaling a little more fully. Deep breath in and a slow breath out. And I'm going to encourage you to continue with that deeper than normal breath cycle throughout the piece we'll be listening to. And ask yourself, what do I need to release? And what do I want to receive? And let's allow this beautiful piece of cello by Elizabeth Marshall to be the conduit for that. Keeping the breath deep and slow. Resting for a few more moments, just resting in a remembrance of your wholeness. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for tuning in, friends. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit that follow button. And until next time, cheers, and here's to keeping it mindful.